Jesus, you freely let me go. Higher into the kingdom, more I praise you, Lord. Oh, deeper yet I pray, deeper yet I pray, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, higher every day.
It's good to see you all here tonight. Welcome to Cowboy Church. We are all here. I suppose there's various reasons, but we're here to worship the Lord, to lift His name up, to gather together. Just the fact of being here on a Friday evening, instead of all the other places one could be at, is an act of worship, and we're going to worship the Lord in singing. We're going to continue to sing. We're going to worship the Lord in our prayers. Some people are going to give prayer requests, and that's an act of faith. And others are going to join and pray to our God for those prayer requests, and that's an act of faith too. And that's a worship to our Lord. Perhaps you're going to there's a little barn in the back. We don't pass a plate. You will put something in there to support our ministry. You're welcome to if you want. No compunction to do that. But if you do that, that's an act of worship. We're here, you know, everything we do and everything we do tonight to worship our Lord and to bless His name and to draw closer to Him and to bless one another. It's just a wonderful time of being with God's family, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to open the evening in Scripture, and I'm going to be reading from Psalm 108. I believe this is a New American Standard Version, but if you want to follow along, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. We're reading on Psalm 108. We're going to read the first five verses. So verse 1 starts like this. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing. I will sing praises. Even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your glory. I thank you that you are worthy to be exalted above the heavens. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your mighty and powerful name. And God, that you created everything and that you rule over everything. And Lord, it is such a great privilege to serve you and to be called by your name. And I thank you, Lord, for all of these people gathered here tonight. I pray that you would bless us, Lord, as we are here. I pray, God, that your spirit would be powerful in our midst, that our prayers, that our singing, Lord, that the sermon that is preached tonight would all glorify your name and lift you up. God, I pray for our pastor tonight, Pastor Ken, as he preaches your word. Lord, you have said that your spirit seals us. If we have given our lives to you and professed the name of your son Jesus, Lord, you say that you seal us, God, but you also empowered your disciples, Lord, when your spirit fell upon them. And God, I pray that your spirit would be heavy upon Ken tonight, that you would empower him to deliver the words that I know that he has worked with you over the course of this week to put together and to craft and to hone and to prepare to deliver tonight. And I pray, God, that you would empower him to deliver those words in a way, Lord, that changes lives. I pray that we are changed tonight. I pray, God, that we would be able to go out. And as the scripture tonight said, that your name would be lifted up amongst the nations. And that's not necessarily in here tonight. That's out there. That's when we leave here, God. I pray that you would, that your presence would linger with us as we go out. And God, that the mighty things that are done in this place tonight would mark us and empower us to be your witnesses, Lord. I pray, God, that everything in this service would be a blessing to you and be glorifying to your name. We pray all these things, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And for those of you that are new here, and some were here last week and they came back, which is a good sign. And but when I open, I always like to stand, have you stand in the reading of God's word. Would you please stand if you can? This is where we ended up last week, and this is where we're going to start today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, actually. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Lord, tonight we thank you for your word. And God, I pray that each one is open to receive from you tonight. Your word says, preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And now, Lord, we thank you for your word. And now may you bless it. And may it be used for your glory. In your name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. We've been doing a series on the word all. And we'll conclude next week with the series all, and we'll end up in the book of Revelation. As you know, we've been floating in Corinthians, Romans, and even in Genesis, and we will do that again tonight. I like preaching the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, as you know that. And to me, the Old Testament is the foundation for the New, and you can't have one without the other. So you're going to get both. You're going to get a healthy mixture. And I was being raised on the farm, when the cattle come to the trough, you want to have good feed, amen? And you want a good mixture. And if there is a good mix, they'll come back. And they'll say, I want more of that. So we want to make sure God's word is preached with a good mixture. There's something here for every one of you. So when you leave this place tonight, you'll say, God is good. I got a good word tonight. In the scripture that we ended up with last week, when we're looking at the word all, for we must all. All means
all.
Not some. All. You know, I looked up the word oops. Believe it or not, the word oops is actually in the dictionary. You can Google it. Oops. Now, why they put oops in there, I have no idea. But oops is in there, and when you stand before the Lord someday, there will be no oops. Oops. Well, I missed it. Or oops, maybe I didn't do the things I should have done or shouldn't have done. There will be no oops. It says every man will give an account. No oopses in heaven. It says all. It says all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. No oopses in heaven. What you're living out now is what will be revealed in heaven. So tonight we're going to now move into Romans. I'm going to preach on one verse tonight. I'm using the New King James. I'm going to use this one tonight. So now we're going to go one that you all know off by heart, Romans 8, 28. You all know this one off by heart. And first I'm going to read the scripture verse, and then I'm going to break it down and preach it in four parts, four-part harmony. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. I love this scriptures. I love them all. But I love this, that all things work together for good. Now we're going to have a start marker tonight. Now, when you do your GPS, you go on that little mappy there, and there's a marker there. And they all look the same. Whether you go to the mall and you say, West Edmonton, where am I? And you find this marker. There's a marker there. And it's kind of like a teardrop. You've all seen these markers. So tonight we're going to have four markers in this message. Four markers. So we're going to start with the first one. The first marker is what our scripture says, and we know. What do we know? Good question. What do we know? Where is that marker in your life? One thing as you sit here tonight, the one thing you should know is that you are a child of the King. If you don't, we need you to stand up right now, and we're going to pray for you. We know. I know I'm saved. I know if I were to die here tonight, I know where I'm going. I know where Max Solbrecken is. No question. That man was an evangelist. He preached the word, I'm telling you. Maybe some of you didn't like the way he preached it. He was a preacher. When he got behind that pulpit, he loved to holler. I'm not a hollerer, but I do get excited. You know, I might look a little old on the outside, but I'm telling you, I'm young on the inside. I am young on the inside. Jesus lives in me. And I am excited. I'm young. A great-granddaughter says, Papa, how come you have a bump in your middle? I don't know. My chest slid. I can't help it. I used to have good abs, but they left. But I'm young on the inside. Praise God, I'm young on the inside. So when we look at this, and we know. Marker number one, and we know. Now maybe you're saying, you have no idea what I'm going through right now. For those of you sitting here tonight who have just lost a loved one. And you can list in the last 3 weeks what you've gone through. And you might say, God, where are you in all of this? Where are you? But we can know that Jesus is on the throne interceding on our behalf this very moment. I know that. I know that. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that. We all have dreams. Maybe our dreams are shattered. Maybe the doctor just gave you some bad news about your health. And all these things have shaken your world. But in the middle of it, that marker is, can you say, I know. I'm going to leave Romans 8:28 for just a moment, and we're going to look at somebody's life that would have really questioned, God, where are you in my life? So we're going to go to Genesis. Told you I'm going to Genesis. So we're going to Genesis. We're going to start. We'll start, let me see. Yeah, we'll start on Genesis 45. I'm a history buff. I really love history. And in Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, we're going to look at the life of Joseph for just a moment to lay the basis for what we're looking at tonight. If anyone should question God, it was Joseph. Now, Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. You're sitting here tonight and you say, you have no idea what my family like. It's a mess. Well, take a look at Joseph. First, he had Leah, which was really, in a sense, his stepmother, in a sense. Well, she had, I think she had four children. Just want to double check here quickly. I think it's in 34. Here we go. Leah had six children. Rachel had two children. Leah had two children by her maid servant, and Rachel had two children by her maid servant. You want to talk a mess in a family? We got 12 kids here, and they're all kind of disconnected. As a pastor, I hear it all the time. You have no idea what my family's like. I said, well, let's look at Joseph's. You think you got a problem. And then Joseph's father, he was the best, the favorite. In fact, he even got the colored coat. You got a sister or brother like that that got the colored coat? Could do no harm. That was Dad's pet. Come on now, work with me. Maybe you were that pet. So here Joseph is in this family, and as you know the story, he went out to see his brothers. He's all pumped, going to see the boys. And here are the boys. Here comes that kid with his coat. Let's kill him. Nice family. Nice. So you know the story. They took him and put him into the well. And along come the Ishmaelites. Well, you know, Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael and he had Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael he shouldn't have had. So here they're selling him now to relatives. That's even worse. Oh, here comes the clappets. Great. Sell him to the relatives. This is a great story, guys. But it's true. Have you ever been sold to some relatives? Maybe you wish you would have. Or maybe you got some relatives you wish you didn't even know. Sold to the Ishmaelites, go into Egypt. Age of 17. Teenager. For 13 years, this young man would be existing, separated from his family, spend 2 years in jail for not cooperating with his boss's wife. Joseph, come to bed with me. And Joseph told her to take a hike into jail. Nice. Have you ever done anything right and you got paid a terrible price for doing right? It can happen, you know. So where's God in all of this? God, I did it right. I didn't do anything against you. Why am I paying for this? And yet God says all things work together. How is that possible? Are you still with me? I mean, it got real quiet in here. Either you're all asleep. Okay, let's pick up on it. It's paraphrase story. Let's go back to the word. Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer them, for they were dismayed in his presence. Like, what's the chances of seeing him after all these years? And to have convinced Dad that he was dead? Not good. This story isn't going to end well. Verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now you got to understand the look of the Hebrews with their beards and their hair and their clothes. He was now an Egyptian. Egyptian were clean shaven, a whole different look. So they didn't even recognize him. And of course, he had changed in some 13 years too. Now he was a grown man. Verse 5, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with ourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For those 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I'll provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father, here it is, of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you've seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Do you know, part of my flesh is, you know what? Those brothers should pay. You characters, you threw me in that well, sold me. Do you know what? You're going to pay. Come on, you guys. You mean that wouldn't cross your mind? Oh, I just love you guys so much. I missed you. Really? Really? For 13 years, I missed you. You know, I'm phoning Uber and I'll load the whole works up and you're going back to Canaan and you could starve there. I'm done with you. Not God's plan. So if you think right now what you're going through and you don't understand it, all you have to know is that God is ultimately in control. Can we leave it there? God sees the beginning of the parade. He sees the end. He sees everything in between. Can we trust him with that? Can you? I have to remind myself of that every day. When the old flesh gets in and wants to help, God doesn't need my help. I know that I'm in God's hands. Whatever happens to me and my family, we're in God's hands. And moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And the most important part is when you flip to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This really brings it all together. Genesis 50, verse 20. And Joseph would say, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives. God meant it for good. As you're working through situations within your families, maybe it's health issues or whatever is going on, God is working out a plan. That somewhere God wants to get our attention. What does it take to get our attention? For me, being raised in a church going home, but I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was in church every Sunday. I knew about Jesus, but he wasn't in here. I had him here. But 18 inches, he wasn't in my heart. But it took a catastrophe in my life for Annette and I to get to get God's, we needed to get, God needed to get our attention. And sometimes it feels like you have to hit the floor with your face straight on it before you wake up and look up. Come on. At some point in our lives, God gets our attention. For some, it's easier than others. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and you never had to go through that. Praise God for that. But I know, for me, I know what I've been saved from. I know. And when I committed my life to the Lord, I had no way of knowing that God would take this Saskatchewan boy and use him in many countries all over the world. Sunday we're doing a baptismal service, and I love doing baptismal services. They are so exciting because you really never know what's going to happen. Many years ago, I was filling a pulpit in Irma for the Alliance Church, and we had just a couple of candidates to be baptized. That Sunday, we ended up baptizing 14 people. I'll tell you, the drummer ran out from the praise and worship team. We were baptizing people in there that should have been baptized 20 years ago. One dear, and he's a close friend of mine, a well-known farmer in the area, happened to come to church that Sunday. God brought him. And he walked up front with his farmer wool shirt, wool socks, jeans, baptized them all right in the tank. When he came up, was he heavy? Oh! And he's still one of the leading Gideons in the area now, to this day. On fire for God. But that Sunday, he met Jesus in the tank. I love baptismal services because you never know. You don't have to bring your swimsuit. I'll tell you, just come. Come expecting. There were some people who said afterwards, they said, you know what, we wanted to go outside and look on top of that little church because we thought there should be fire on the top of it. The Holy Spirit was there. When God shows up, you know it. Nobody can make that up. Nobody can. You know when he's here. And you know when his word is going forth, and right now it's speaking to your heart. You know it. Last Friday, I had someone come to me after and said, that whole message was prepared for me. What about all the other people? They didn't get anything, I guess. No? Something for everybody. Are you listening? So now we're going to go back to the next marker here. We want to quickly go back to the third marker in Romans. Back to Romans 8:28. I know, or we know, that all things work together for good. To those who what? So if you're here today and you say, I love the Lord, know that you know that you know it's working together for good. It is. You maybe can't see that right now, but I'm telling you, it's working together for good. There's a lot of things we don't even have to know, that God is working it together for good. Not me, not you. God's working it together for good. To those who love God and those who are called. We're called. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You are called. I got a call yesterday. My circle of friends and people I know is big. So I never know where I might get a call. This call came from Red Deer Health Center. And the voice that I heard, I could barely recognize because of the coughing. It was Dave Mundruziak. Dave is from Tofield. I know him well. A few weeks ago, I took Dave personally to the emergency center in Tofield. See, Dave loves the Lord. But he's abused his body over the years with booze and cigarettes. And now, whenever he goes to talk, he coughs consistently because his lungs are full of nicotine. They rushed him to Red Deer because there's a specialist there that's going to try to help Dave. Right now, they put a tube in his lungs because they're filling up with fluid. You know, in our lives, there is consequences for sin. You can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but there still can be consequences for your sin. If your lifestyle before you were hard on your body and you didn't take care of it, there can be consequences. I know God can heal it. I know. I've seen it. But there still can be consequences. But in all things, God works together for good. No matter what the situation. To those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Today, the simple question I have for you is, do you love Jesus? Do you have that personal relationship with him? Has he come in and taken up residence in your heart? Do you know that? Because if you don't, I'm here to tell you tonight, as a clergy, it's not safe for you to die. Do you hear me? It's not safe for you to die. If you went out in that street and a car hit you and you don't know Jesus, it's not safe for you to die. Because someday I have to stand before God and give an account of what I said from behind this pulpit. It says, woe. When God gives you two woes, you better hang on. Woe to the shepherds, because you haven't told. Any preacher who stands behind a pulpit and doesn't lay out the salvation message clearly, someday he will give an account for that. Woe to the shepherds. We have an awesome, awesome responsibility before God. I don't have to stand before you someday, but I will have to stand before. Because I just opened in that. It says, we will all give an account. We will. Next week, I'll conclude this series on all, and we're going to end up in the book of Revelation. You better be here. Don't miss it. We started in Genesis and we're going to end up in Revelation. But I want to end this message here tonight. Another scripture verse which you know off by heart, Matthew 28. And we have another all. Wow, another all. Remember I told you there's 5,620 alls. Here's another one. Verse 18, chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, here it is. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. There it is. Even to the end of the age. Amen. Wow. So whatever you're walking through, Jesus is right there. I brought up a song that all of a sudden I was humming in my head. I'm bad for humming things in my head. Annette's worse than me, but I'm bad for humming. She hums all the time. Going, what are you humming? She's got songs in her head all the time. Driving, I said, what are you humming? I don't know. What am I humming? She's a hummer. But all of a sudden, I get a song like this one. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved. Buy the bus and load them all up, or going on the road. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. You find comfort in that?
Yeah.
All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. What a promise. And now the Lord would say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
See you next week.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face? While the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end in sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe.